Well, I'd been glad if they'd just sang about a whole nother three verses of that song. Thank the Lord. There's one thing about it, folks. It's real. And it's not a just a religion, but it's a know-so salvation. And we can know that we have, like Brother Delmer said, been delivered from sin. We can know where it happened. We can point him back to it. I'm talking about the devil now. And we can rejoice the rest of our life and live for God. We don't have to be up and down and in and out and flipping and flopping. But we can reign, have victory and power and blessings in our soul. Have a burden tonight. And I desire your prayers. I want to open in Matthew the 22nd chapter. Now what this is, I'm going to start and end with something other than my burden. But don't get excited because it ties in with my burden or I wouldn't do that. So I was meditating and praying over this. This kept coming to my mind. And I thought, well, I can see where it's got to be. So we have started out a little bit different than maybe we normally would. So we desire your prayer. Matthew 22, about the 37th verse here. Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, and about the 12th verse. Let's go 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. The Lord said to me, Arise and take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. All right, now back to Matthew 24. And about 12, just one verse here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now my burden tonight is pleasing God. We must please God. We don't have any choice but to please God. But what is so sad about it, there's a lot of people that's not pleasing God. And tonight, if you are going to please God, or basically if you're going to please anybody, you need to love them. It's hard to please somebody if you don't love them, and you don't love them good. And parents or children, children the parents, husband, wife, so forth, there needs to be a real love and a real bond there. And so consequently, if we love somebody, it's not hard to please them and desire to please them and want to please them. So consequently, tonight, he said, love the Lord thy God with all. He didn't give any area except totally, completely, a full cup, a full heart, a full way. In every way, he wants us to serve him with a heart full of love. And the problem of it is tonight, there's a lot of people, said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity is on the upstage like I've never seen it before. Now, I'm not as old as a lot of folks in here, but I have been around a few years now, and iniquity and the devil is working harder, pulling more tricks and doing more things than I've ever seen in my ministry and in my life. He's working harder, he's doing more, he's accomplishing more, and the reason he's doing that is because the love of a lot of people is beginning to wax down, is beginning to fall down, slip down, go back, and that is the reason there's a lot of people tonight that's not pleasing God like they ought to. So Lord, help us tonight. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said over there in Deuteronomy, he said, this is what I want you to do, children. Now, Israel gave the Lord a lot of problems. I mean, if there was ever a bad, back in South Carolina, there was a statement they used back there that if there was a child that wasn't what we'd call a good child, they'd just call him a bad gal. Just a bad gal, they'd say. Well, Israel give the Lord. It was a bad Israel a lot of times. And the Lord told them from the jump, go right here in the 10th chapter, and said, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord? Another thing that is wrong with the United States and a lot of people, the fear of God is at the lowest level it's ever been. Then it said to walk in all his ways. Not some of his ways, not part of his ways, not the ways that you made up in your own mind and so forth, but to walk in his ways. God's got ways. He's got truth. He's got doctrines. He's got a Bible that tells us how to walk and how to live and how to do. And you and I are required by the Word of God to do that, by the Spirit of God to do that. And if you and I don't do that, we won't be pleasing God tonight. So walk in all of his ways, love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Now, I don't care what people say. They can laugh at us and make fun of us and so forth. They can laugh at the women because they have long sleeves and long skirts and long hair. But the bottom line is, modesty of dress is a protection for every sister in here. It's really a protection for every brother in here. Because there are people who want to go out there and peel their shirts off and go out there, and there's a lot of people dying with cancer today. And the problem of it is because they're exposing their body to things they should have never exposed it to. So it is a safety factor. It is good to walk in the things of the Lord. It's good to walk in the commandments of God. It's a safety and a protection for you and I tonight. All right, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. All right, let's go to Matthew 3 and 17. I'm wanting to establish some things, and then we will get into what I have on my heart. And here Jesus has gone to be baptized, I believe, here. 15th verse, 3 and 15. He's come to John there. John forbade him, 14, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John, the 8th chapter, 27th verse. Start reading. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. And he spake thee, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord didn't leave anything undone. Even down to, you might call, a simple ordinance, Christ done it all. And he done that for an example and to set in place to fulfill the whole Bible, whereby if there is a commandment in there, that commandment is to be followed because Christ set it in place. He didn't leave anything open. He didn't leave no loopholes. Man has made a lot of laws. They've set up a lot of things, but they've got themselves into more troubles at times because they didn't have the wisdom to see what could happen down the road. When Christ and God wrote the Word of God, they wrote it in such a way with such perfection, and Christ, when he come down here to fulfill all righteousness, he done everything exactly. He dotted every I, crossed every T. He done everything that needed to be, whereby when we was coming and getting a call from God and a call from Christ, and we were beginning to participate or come into the things of God, there's not anything that he can ask us to do that he didn't do. And so consequently, he can require things of you and I. Now then, in the 1 Corinthians there, it said he was not well pleased. They were doing things that was not happy, that he was not happy with. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now then, and then he said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus said, I always do those things which please the Father. Now, if you listen to those readings and that word of God, what do you think? Do you want to have somebody that is well pleased with you? Or do you want to have somebody that's displeased with you? Now, if your father or mother got displeased with you is one thing, but I got news for us, folks. If God gets displeased, we're in big trouble. I want us to go back and remember the times when different ones told us that they were pleased with us. Probably started out with mother, father, maybe a grandparent, maybe a pastor, a friend, or whatever, teacher maybe. And they let you know they were pleased with what you were doing, what you were learning, the labor that you were putting into whatever you were doing. They were pleased with that. But then I want you to go back and think about the time when they said they were displeased with you. I remember we had a vice principal in junior high, and I fooled around and got myself into trouble because I come in late on lunch hour. I never did do this much, but several of us went off to the Bronco to eat over there. We couldn't get our food and get eat and get back on time, and we got in trouble. Well, I knew this vice principal had a reputation, and it wasn't pat you on the back and say you're a good boy, but if you was bad, I mean, he laid it to you. And when I found out that I was in trouble, folks, when I was called to go to him, I was sick at heart, trembling all the way, shook up from top to bottom. I was not just a man that was going to boldly march in there with all my attributes and good deeds, because, folks, that man had me scared to death. I knew what he could do. I knew what he had done. And I was extremely disturbed and worried that this young man had got himself into trouble when he should have been minding his business and staying on campus and eating and not going out to the Bronco to have lunch. Well, have you ever had an incident like that? When a vice principal or a principal, maybe your parent, grandparent, was real displeased with you and you knew they were? And you knew that you were facing the rod, so to speak. I know of a case in South Carolina where a young lady, about 18, Maybe she was 16. 16, I guess it was. And she was staying with a grandparent, quite a ways away from the mother. Not a long, long ways, but a ways. They wasn't just down the road from one another. So they called and they said, your daughter's missing. We don't know where she's at. She said, I'll be there in a little bit. She took off over there. She started hunting. She found her. She said, it's time for you to go home, child. She got home and she said, now then, I want you to meet me in the house. She went out and she said, I got me a bunch of switches. She said, I wrapped a deal around and I tied them real good and made a nice bundle out of them. She's not talking about one switch, folks. She had a whole handful. She said, I come in there and I told her, said, you're going to get the whipping of your life. You've upset my evening. You have done wrong, and I'm going to punish you. She told her to start taking her clothes off, and she went to work on her. That girl wailed and hollered, I'm going to call DHS, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That fine, wham, she hit her again. She cried out some more, wham, she hit her again. The more she bellowed, the more she whipped her. She said, Brother Carl, she never done that again. The problem with America today is they're too easy on things. But I got news for you. When God lays the law down, folks, I got a whipping one time all the way from California to Oklahoma. And after I got here, he kept whipping me. And when he got through, I never have forgotten that whipping. I'm going to tell you, when he gets displeased with you, he can work you over. He can keep you up at night. He can give you the worst chastisement of anybody I've ever been whipped by. That includes mother and daddy and anybody else that got on me. The Lord is the most serious one I've ever had to deal with. But the bottom line is, what do you want to hear? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Or do you want to hear him say, I'm not pleased with you, child? You and I want other people to be pleased with us. I could be wrong, but on the job, you want people to be pleased with you. But tonight, how concerned are we whether God is pleased with you and I or not? And are we really, really seeking to please Him in every way? Has the Lord been pleased with you lately? Have you done everything that the Lord has asked you to do lately and in the past? So Lord, help us tonight. He said, this is my beloved son. We're the children of the Lord too. And He will give us a commendation of I am well pleased with you when we do the right things. But tonight, there's a lot of things going on that I do not believe the Lord is pleased with. Matter of fact, I know He's not pleased with it. Let's go to 11th chapter of Hebrews. This is my text right here. I desire your prayers. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 11:1 of Hebrews. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. It would be nice to have on every grave marker and every grave of every saint and everybody that lives for God, he pleased God. That'd be the greatest thing a person could say right there. This plan pleased God. This woman pleased God. This child pleased God. Here was a man, God was so pleased with him, so blessed with him, that he just translated him and took him on to heaven. Praise God. But he left this testimony. Dear ones, tonight, if we don't have any other testimony, we can talk fluently, or we can preach fluently, or we can sing good, but if we have a testimony that we please God, that right there echoes and will go down through the annals of time as a great thing in your and my life. Thank the Lord. He left this testimony that he pleased God. Tonight, if you was to die or get killed and go out into eternity, what would the people say about you? And we can butter things up all we want to, folks, but if a person ain't done right, they hadn't done right. But if we leave a testimony that they please God, I'm going to tell you, it'll ring through the years of time. It'll ring, and it'll hold a good set pattern. And this is what you and I need tonight, of an example that we please God. We not only need it on our tombstones, but we need it written all over it, so to speak, that when people see us, they know our testimony, they've heard it, they've watched our lives, they've seen the things that you and I have done, and they can say, that person pleases God. That person is glorifying God. That person is blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Tonight, bless there needs to glorify. I'm going to tell you tonight, people need to glorify and lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus and hold Him in high esteem and do the things He asked them to do, and then they'll be pleasing God when they do all the commandments with their whole heart and love Him. Lord, help us tonight. He left this testimony that He pleased God. That is a great testimony tonight. You and I need to please God. Are you pleasing God tonight? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, please. 4th chapter, 1st verse. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as we have received, as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. The ministers of God, their burdens and their teachings is to get you to heaven. I got news for you. I wouldn't wear myself out doing what I'm doing if I wasn't interested in that. I want you to make heaven. All the sleep that is lost, all the tears that are shed, all the fasting that is done is for your good, to get you to heaven. Some people say, well, I don't like what he's preaching. It's to get you to heaven. If it's the truth and anointed by the Word of God, we owe the Bible and God and that minister respect enough to listen to what he has to say. And so consequently, Paul's saying here that I beseech you. Furthermore, I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul wasn't doing this on his own. He's exhorting them by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, that you would abound more and more. Now, when a person gets saved and start out for the Lord, I'm going to tell you it does the pastor and the ministers good. They start out just getting up and just testifying, thank the Lord, I'm saved. They get up the next Wednesday night, thank the Lord, I'm saved. They get up at that, oh, the Lord's given me some victory, and the Lord's healed my body, and the Lord's blessed my soul. I'm going to tell you that just lifts a congregation. Not only the pastor or the minister, it'll lift a whole congregation. It'll fire them up, set the whole place on fire, because that person is getting up, telling what the Lord has done for them. Well, that's where you start. And then as the Lord, as you listen and as you learn, and as the Lord blesses you and deepens you and strengthens you and settles you and perfects you, He said that He wants you to abound more and more in pleasing God. In doing the things that you've been taught, how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God, so you would abound more and more, thank the Lord. This is not a thing where you do it 1 week on and 1 week off, or 1 month on or 1 month off. It's a 24/7 deal for you and I to please God, thank the Lord. to put our whole heart into it. Not going around sloppy and slouchy and doing the things that part of the time that's good and part of the time that's bad, but set our hearts and minds in the depths of our closets of prayer that, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to please you, praise God. It may hurt the flesh. It may hurt in a lot of ways, but I'm giving my all to you, and I'm going to serve you no matter what, Lord. I'm going to please you, Lord, above all else. Paul said, so you would abound more and more. That's what Sister LaDonna was saying the other morning. We need to start at kindergarten, and we need to go through high school graduation, and we don't want to stop anywhere in between and start sliding back. But when you do, God is not pleased with you and I. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. This is an abounding. This is a going forth way. This starts out in you and I one way to go, and that's straight ahead to heaven. Praise God. You know what? It's going back. Some people say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Had people in South Carolina over there, bless their hearts, some young people and stuff that wasn't saved, and they'd say, well, do I have to give up this and do I have to do that and the guy got to quit this? I said, the first thing you need to do is get saved. I said, let's get saved. Don't worry about what I got to give up, what I got to do. Just get saved. Kind of looked at me kind of funny. I guess they thought I'd lost my mind or something. But folks, if you get a person really delivered and saved, and they got a love for God, then everything else is made pretty easy. But you got to keep the love in the right spot, and you've got to keep doing exactly what God wants you to do. And that's what Paul is saying here, that you abound more and more. There's a lot of people abounding in stuff, and it ain't in righteousness, I guarantee you. They're abounding. Sin is abounding more and more. Love, if we want to be saved, if we want to do what God wants us to do, God's got enough grace to help you and I to get there. But we got to want it. We got to pray it down. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's getting to a place that ain't none of this 5-minute stuff. We need to get on our knees and stay there. Go and pray down, just like the song was sung tonight. I'm going to tell you, I had a burden a while back about prayer, and I had this phrase kept coming to mind, it's time to pray, my brother, it's time to pray. And I knew it was a song, but I couldn't figure out where it would come from. I didn't know it was coming to my mind. Finally, Sister Janet Porter, she said, she'd come to her, she said, that's off of a record that a group sung many years ago, and she gave me the songs and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, saints, it's time to pray. It doesn't need 5 minutes and 10-minute prayer. It's time to get on our knees, praise God, and stay there till we know we prayed down the power. And like Brother Kimball said, here it's handful, or she is handful, and know God has done exactly what we've asked Him to do. It's time to pray, my brother. It's time to please God, brother and sister. Lord, help us to please God tonight with all of our heart. Let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter. We desire your prayers. About the 15th verse, 4th chapter of Philippians. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews the 13th chapter and the 16th verse says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, you ain't going to like what I'm going to say next, but Lord help us. God gave His Son, and Christ gave His life for you and I. That set the pattern of giving. As some people say, or some people out there teach, you know, give 10%, 10%, 10%. Well, I'm not against you giving 10, 20, or 30. But the bottom line is the Bible teaches in the New Testament that it's 100% and not 10%. They're 90% off is what they are. And tonight it is blessing God. It is pleasing to God for you and I to give to the gospel work. It's pleasing to God for you and I to make sacrifices. You know, the United States, some people, not everybody, but some people tonight don't even know what sacrifice is much anymore. They've got abounding more and more than they know what to do with, and they don't even know what a real sacrifice is. But there is people back in the old time has had to make some real sacrifices, but they've gone beyond what God, or exactly what God wanted them to do. And God was pleased. And when they gave and done exactly what the Lord asked them to do, He blessed them over and over, praise God, for what they did. If you and I give, God's going to bless. One brother one time was praying in his room. In a camp meeting, a revival, maybe a tent meeting. Maybe it's a tent meeting. This has been many years ago. And the one that's doing the praying told me about it. And the one that's done the giving, I knew him too. And so he said, I was praying, I needed so much money. I mean, exactly so much money. I needed $20, if I remember right. And he was praying, Lord, please have mercy and supply this money. Well, the other brother at the meeting, he was a farmer. And the Lord started dealing with him to give the $20. And he started telling the Lord all the reasons he couldn't give the $20. He said, Lord, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Lord said, I want you to give it. Lord, I got all that. I want you to give it. Lord, I got all this. Finally said, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'll give it. He handed the preacher the $20. Thank the Lord, that's exactly what I needed. And the brother got home and everything he thought he needed the $20 for, the Lord worked all that out where he didn't even need it. Praise God. There's only a God in heaven that is able to do that. But He is well pleased with you and I giving tonight. Brother Allen taught, when I worked with him in the gospel work, he said, listen, folks, he said, out there they need to give 10%. He said, if the church of God would give 10% clear across the board, he said, this thing would move on with no problem. All right now. Lord, help us now. And I'm not saying you've got to, but I'm saying you need to seek God. And when God tells you to do something, I say you better do it to please God. Give what He asks you to give. Even if you want to. I know of one man. He was a very wealthy man. And he was a Christian. And he told the Lord when he started getting wealthy, he said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll live on the 10 and give you the 90. The more he gave, the more God gave him. He lived on that 10% and he had a good income. He gave 90% of that money to the gospel work. Here and here and here. I've heard of one family in this area that give literally millions of dollars in a year to the gospel work. Well, that's beyond what you and I can think. Some people can't think of $1,000 or $2,000. These people give literally millions of dollars in the gospel work. Lord, help us tonight. Is God pleased with your giving tonight? Now then, if you think I preach on this all the time, just ask my congregation, because I don't say much about it. But I tell you what, the Lord wants you and I to please Him in giving. He wants us to turn loose and give the way He wants us to give. Now sometimes, and Lord help me right here, I don't want to get myself in a hole real quick. What has run the church of God down through the years is the Holy Ghost. What has run the church of God down through the years is the Holy Ghost. Jesus, from the jump go, basically, He started pointing to the next one that was coming, that was the Holy Spirit. And then He told them, said, you tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He's going to lead you and guide you and direct you into all truth and show you things to come. And you know, tonight the Holy Ghost has worked and worked well, leading, guiding, empowering, doing everything the church of God needed Him to do. And used to, the church of God would pray, God would lead in the giving, and they would do exactly what needed to be done, and everything was supplied. Seems like today, if we're not careful, people send out letters and saying things and letting things be done because they need money. I hope you love me when I get through here. But Lord, help us. We need to get back to what was original. God knows whatever minister needs in here. He knows whatever congregation needs in here. And He knows exactly how to lead, guide, and direct and supply all those needs without letters being sent out. And I know this ain't popular what I'm saying here, Lord help me. Without letters being sent out and certain things being said and done. And so consequently, what is the problem? I believe there's a lack of Holy Ghost leadership and pleasing God right in this area, right here. Amen. I believe that's the problem. I'm not saying everybody, but I do believe it is enough. Because people are saying, well, we've got this and we've got that. We need your help. We need your support. We need your finances. Why don't you tell the Holy Ghost? That preacher stayed on his knees till God dropped his head and said, I'll supply the need. And the farmer handed him the $20 bill. God is not a short. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns all the oil wells in Oklahoma and Kansas and all over the country. He owns every home, train, plane, bus, and everything, all the land. And listen, folks, if He can't give our needs, you and I is serving a short God. Amen? Is not God big enough to do anything we want Him to do? Yes, He is. He said the earth, let's see, the heaven, no. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Said, heaven's my throne and earth is my footstool. He's got all power in heaven and earth. He said, He can supply anything that we need Him to supply. But sometimes we make too much amends. And what I mean by amends, we make too much noise. I need this and I need that. We need to be telling the Holy Ghost on high. And the Lord will supply our needs. Now, I may get into a big battle over this, but you pray for me. The Lord, is He pleased with our giving tonight? How much have you done lately in giving? Let's go to Colossians 1. 1 and 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I want to take a back step. Several years ago, we were in a revival meeting in a place. This goes back to giving. And there was a brother there that was building a house. Nice home. He did get it completed in time. It's a beautiful home. Anyway, he said, he told the Lord that when he done his taxes up that year, he said, now when I get my tax money back, he said, I'm going to give the whole amount to the gospel work. Well, when he got it back, he spent it on the house. He needed a little more for the house. He spent it on that. He didn't stick to his word. The Lord gave us a message one night that we preached. And it hit him right between the eyes, and he got up and he testified and confessed his wrong, so to speak, to the whole congregation. He said, folks, I'll pay that money. The Lord's got a way of finding you out, whether it be in a message or whether it be in a secret closet or whatever. The Lord can catch you when you back up on the Lord. All right, he said here that for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How much have you deepened down in the Lord? How much wisdom and spiritual understanding, how much knowledge of God, how much knowledge of His Word, how much of an understanding you had of God tonight? All of that is prevalent into that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. The more you know, the more you can please. Sometimes the more you know, the more you can get in trouble too. But he says here that all of these things, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. In our private dealings with God, in the secret things, are you pleasing God? Has he told you something to do that you hadn't done? Has he told you to measure up on something or give up something or change something and you just hadn't done it? Nobody knows it but you and God, but the Lord knows it. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Lord help us. Jonah, the Lord told him, said, I want you to go down and preach against them. I've got you a message and I want you to go preach it. What did Jonah do? Jonah went the other direction, didn't he? And nobody knew that at that time. He got on that ship and they went out in the sea and they got in trouble and they woke him up down the bottom of the ship, I believe it was. And he, yeah, and the man is guilty. And when he got down to the bottom of the sea and the seaweed wrapped around his neck, when he looked to the Lord and he said, salvation cometh from the Lord, then God began to move in his favor. But the bottom was, Jonah was not pleasing God. Jonah was running. He didn't want to do it. He was in secret. Nobody knew about it at that time but Jonah and God. Listen, folks, there's a lot of things that God has shown a lot of people in secret, so to speak, and they're doing just the opposite to what God wants them to do. There is people that's been called into the ministry that has fought that calling for years and years and thought they had it beat till they got on their dying bed. And then the pastor had to deal with it because they run from God for years. And I'm not talking about two and three. I'm talking about a long time. They got way up in years and God had called them many years before. I've seen it in three different cases. One man went out and backslid and lived in sin for many, many, many years. And then the Lord had mercy and saved him. And he told me, he said, where I started down is when I walked out of the Guthrie Chapel and walked away that night. And they gave him room. It was open for him to preach that night. He had the message and the pastor opened it up and gave him all the room he needed. And he said, I got up and walked out of the chapel and started away from God. When you start backing up on God, you can do just like Jonah, get out into the place and get yourself into trouble. Because you're not pleasing God. I'm going to tell you, when you don't please God, your conscience is not in a good shape. When you don't please God, your heart ain't just beating just right neither. When you don't please God, God can work on that and deal with that. Our God can sacrifice you and turn you loose. There have been people that have been sacrificed. Jonah, if Jonah had not had turned and done what he done, even at the bottom of the sea, he would have been a lost man. But he turned. Two other people, they went on and they lived for God for many years. I knew them both, loved them both. And they got out on their deathbed and they started confessing. Well, one of them confessed at the altar to me sometime before that. And he told me, he said, Brother Carl said, God dealt with me many years ago to preach the gospel, but it wasn't it. Some people, I guess, think they can just get out of this stuff. But folks, once you get a calling, you can never run from it. You can run, but you can't get away from it. So consequently, he went on and he went on and he went on and he went on and he got down to the end of his life and he was on his deathbed and he told me, he said, I have repented, I have pleaded, I have begged, I've done everything I know to do. He said, I believe the Lord has forgiven me and I told him I'd be willing now to do anything he wanted me to do. He should have done that 30-something years before that or however long it was. There's a lot of things that God tells people in their secret life that just between them and God. They keep that thing hidden and covered up. But like brother said last night, if God come in here and start saying, now I'm not pleased with this and I'm not pleased with that and you should have done this and you should have done that, I want to ask you tonight, would you be happy with that? No, I don't think you would. He said they like the little lady there that was caught in the act of adultery. Them Pharisees were going out of there one by one. I'm going to tell you, this place would start clearing out pretty quick. What about our prayer life tonight? Is our prayer life pleasing God? The United States is in trouble. The world's in trouble. And the one thing I believe that is holding this whole thing intact is the saints of God in their prayer. But are we praying enough? The bottom line is God pleased with your prayer life tonight? Are you spending as much time in prayer as you ought to spend? And the problem with it is, folks, I realize this, that you and I are living in an age that is moving so fast we can't hardly stay up with it, at least I can't. I get to the end of some days, and I look the whole thing over, and I thought, what have I done today? And I start naming it off. Well, I didn't do a lot today, that's true. But still, I got all these other things to do. Brother hit me up tonight. He said, I passed your house a while ago. And there's something outside my house that was there when I bought it. And it's been there over 2 years, and I still ain't taking it down. And the problem of it is, it's sitting at an angle that we don't look at it very much. And I need any more to write things down, and I make me a list, and I start doing them and marking them off. That thing never got on the list to tear it down, so it's still sitting there. His son, him, drove by and said, Daddy, Brother Carl's got one of them big old dishes out there by his house. Yeah, I got one all right, but I got news for you. It ain't hooked up to anything inside. It needs to be taken down. We're living in an age, folks, that is moving so fast, I believe if you would admit it, you can't hardly stay up with it. The pressure, the anxiety, the stress is about to wreck some people's nerves and bodies. But in the bottom line, Lord, help us to pray. Is the Lord pleased with our prayer life tonight? If He come and sat down by you, and He started having a good talk to you, what would He point out in your life that He's displeased with tonight? What would He say? Or would He go down the list, well, I'm pleased with this, and I'm pleased with that, and I'm pleased with this, and I'm pleased with that. Just what would He give you tonight in a grade card? What about the reading of the Bible in our Bible study? How much reading do you do of the Word of God? He said here that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled. The older saints, the ministers, and everybody desires everybody to be filled with God. To know the Word of the Lord, to know Him and to understand Him and to have such a connection with Him that they understand what it means to do what God wants them to do. One man put it like this in reference to courtship and marriage. He said, we want to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, we want to be led by the Spirit in concerning our getting a wife or a husband. We want that. But he said, the problem of it is that we need to start learning how to be led by the Spirit way before we get to the time of getting married and getting a spouse. We need to know what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. And that takes time, and it takes exercise, and it takes getting down before God, and it takes praying and fasting and reading and studying and praying and doing everything that you need to do. And then when you get to that place and God has been leading you and guiding you and directing you by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, then you get to a place, the Lord, you say, that's the lady and that's the man I want you to get married to. And you'll know the right one. You won't have to beat around the bush. Took me a year to get there, but I did get there. Took me a year. I prayed over it. I was over 20. Well, I was 29. And I prayed about it because the Lord had showed me that it was a serious thing to get married. And He wanted to pick my companion. He let me know without a shadow of a doubt that if I was going to be a minister for Him, that He had to pick my wife. I didn't take that lightly, folks. And finally, after a year, I got down in fasting and prayer, and I said, Lord, I've been holding this girl, so to speak, at bay for a year. And just waiting and waiting, and I've been looking for a certain answer, and you've never given me that answer. And it was like a film strip in my mind. He took me back to the very first prayer that I prayed. And he took me from prayer to prayer and prayer to prayer and prayer to prayer and prayer to prayer all down through the time. He said, how many more answers do you need? I said, well, how much more, child, do you need? I've given you all these answers. And then he gave me some other scriptures to go with it. And he let me know it was by his will for me to marry Rebecca. And so consequently, I got up and I went forth and we got engaged and we got married. And we've lived happily ever after over 23 years now. But the bottom line is, folks, we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to read. We need to pray. We need to study. We need to get on our knees and do the things that God would have us to do. And is God pleased with our lives tonight in those places? Those little secret things. What about our attitudes? Is God pleased with our attitudes tonight? When I was sick in 87, the brethren there that's working with me, they said, well, we just do this as kind of a general thing, Brother Carl. Is everything clear? Is everything all right between you and the Lord? And I said, well, yes, I believe it is. But I said, I tell you what, I'll do a double check on this and ask and see and pray. And the Lord showed me something. He said, you got a hard attitude toward a certain individual. Okay. I thought about it. I could see where he's coming from. And I began to work on it. Sometimes, folks, our attitude towards people is not just what it ought to be. Sometimes our attitudes need to be positive and they're negative. We need to do an attitude adjustment, as my brother calls it. And get our attitudes exactly where God wants them in a positive and a powerful way whereby God can use us and work with us, and the devil's got to run because of a positive attitude. And we're not going to stand back and let him bulldoze and push and back us in a corner, but we're going to come out fired with both guns, praise God. Is God pleased with our attitudes tonight? Is your attitudes what God would get pleased with? In every way. We have positive and solid. What about our praising God tonight? Is God pleased with our praising? Sacrifice of praise? This has been a real good meeting. I've enjoyed this meeting. And I'd say you probably enjoyed this meeting, but how much have you been praising God? How much are you praising God outside of the chapel or outside of your home? Uh-oh, now wait a minute, Brother Carl. Do you ever say praise the Lord out on the sidewalk or out in the park or going down a mall or anything like that? Well, wait a minute, I'll praise you. Lord, help us now. If God puts a shout on you, you better shout, so to speak. If he's got a praise in your heart, it don't hurt to say thank the Lord, praise God, right out in the middle, somewhere. Just praising God and rejoicing. It don't hurt in meeting. I'm going to tell you, it's good to praise God when the Word of God's going forth. It's good to praise God when the singing's going forth. It's good to praise God in the valley. It's good to praise God when, like Brother was saying, when we're kind of down and so forth. I'm going to tell you, praise is a mighty powerful tool to run the devil off when you're shouting and praising God. Rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord wants us to rejoice. He wants us to praise God. He wants us to lift Him up. Is He pleased with our praising tonight? Is the Lord pleased with our personal dealings concerning the gospel work? And I'm not saying that to jump onto the ministers here. I'm not saying that for that reason. But a lot of times the Lord begins to give some directions and leadings concerning maybe giving out tracts, maybe writing a letter, maybe visiting somebody, or whatever. I'm talking about minor stuff, and the people just don't do like they ought to do. That's part of the gospel work, calling somebody on the phone that's sick or afflicted or whatever, going by and visiting them. Lord, help us. Has the Lord showed you something to do and you hadn't done it? Is He pleased with everything that He showed you? Like I said, a lot of this stuff can be done in secret, and nobody else knows anything about it, but the Lord knows about it. And He's going to work with it. And folks, like I said, He whipped me from California to Oklahoma one time, and it was not a pleasant whipping, I guarantee you. And I've never forgot it, and you're not going to forget it neither if you displease the Lord. Has He worked with you and dealt with you and pleaded with you on something that He wants you to do and you hadn't done it? Whatever it might be, singing a special, doing song leading, maybe He wants to lead you out, maybe He wants to use you to sing some specials or something like that. Has He been dealing with that? And have you been responding? Is He pleased with that tonight? Let's go to 11th chapter, Hebrews 6th verse. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But without faith it is impossible. You pray for me right here. To the hurt and pain of the general body of the ministers, there has been a general slide downward in trusting God fully in their bodies for some time now. And I'm here to tell you, God ain't pleased with that. Now, what I'm talking about is the bottom line, that if He's dealt with you to trust Him, given you light and understanding, and worked with you, and you've done that, and then you start going the other way. The Bible said there that if we build the things that we once destroyed, we make ourselves a transgressor. So tonight, if you've got light and understanding on anything, not only divine healing, but anything in the Word of God, and you start backing up on that thing, you make yourself a transgressor. And God is not pleased with that. Divine healing has been a Bible doctrine for many, many, many years. Well, basically the most of this Reformation. And I don't see anywhere where it says that it changed from a Bible doctrine. If you and I let down, and some are doing it, if we let down on divine healing, there's going to be a lot of other things we let down on too. That's just the first domino in the fall, so to speak. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, Lord help us. There's another angle of divine healing that I believe very strongly tonight. What part of the problem is the fact that people are not consecrating their lives to God. They're not consecrating. They're not being filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not giving Him everything and keeping everything on the altar. Because if they did, God would show them, lead them, guide them, and help them to trust Him all the way. Praise God. He wants people to trust Him. He made our bodies, and He wants us to trust Him with our bodies. He wants to lead, guide, and direct that. And if you and I don't do that, it's not pleasing to God. When we have light and understanding, I want that to be understood. Don't go out here and say, boy, he's throwing a big blanket statement out here because I'm not doing that. I want you to know that if God has led you and guided you and directed you and you have done it and you have a conviction of divine healing and you back up on that, God ain't pleased with that.
He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to give your all to Him. He wants you to be able to trust Him to the place that you can lay your body on a bed and say, Lord, Thy will be done, live or die. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't have the consecration to do that anymore. Brother Sammons, the old general as I called him, if you can remember back, and some of you are probably too young. Now, he's been dead about 8 years. But there's some in here don't remember him very well, I know, some of the young ones. But you remember the time that he had preached right here? Monarch, Roger, South Carolina, well, not South Carolina so much. But different places, and he had preached, and one of his main burdens was sanctification, being filled with spirit law. I've seen him alter Philip over and over and over. But folks, somewhere in the last several years, and a lot of people slipped back on that, because if they were all still just like they were then, this thing would be moving on, praise God. But there's some slipping back, and some people are not pleasing God in this, because they're not trusting God all the way. There's other things too. It's not just that. There's another thing. God wants people to live the life that He approves of, and He wants them to stay in the church of God. There is too many people wanting to go out there and dabble with Baptist. God don't call, I don't believe, the general body of the saints of God to go out there and dabble around and babble. He said, come out of her, my people. He didn't say, go down there and play with it. He said, come out of her, my people. There was a group of people that left us several years ago. And they come in to Oklahoma City to hold a meeting. This has been several years back. And I was cleaning a house one morning, and a friend of mine had gone down, I believe he had gone at this time to one service, this meeting, and he and I had talked on the phone about it, and I thought, well, I just might go. Hadn't seen this man in a long time. I thought, I just might go. And I was standing there, and I was thinking about it, and so forth, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, would you go down to Babylon? He said, you ain't going there neither. You're not going there. He's got proper English. I don't either. You're not going there neither, child. You're not going. God dubbed that thing Babylon. He didn't leave anything out, but He just said it's Babylon, and you're not going there. And folks, I ain't been there. I ain't gone to any place. People that turn and walk away from the church of God and go down there and dabble in Babylon, folks, are dabbling where their spirits. There's wrong spirits, there's bad spirits, and God said, Babylon the Great is fallen, it's fallen, has become the habitation of devils. Let me get that here. See, what is that? 18:2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, it's become the habitation of devils, and a hold of every foul spirit, cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in getting around something like that. Now, there is people that in the ministry, I know of one anyway, Brother Dries Gibson, he had a special call. If you got a special call, I'm not going to argue with that. But you need to know without a shadow of a doubt, because there is spirits, bad spirits down there in Babylon. And I'm telling the church of God, they need to stay away from it. Don't even think about it. I was down and out. I was discouraged one time many years ago. And I got news for you. I was thinking about walking off from this body of people. And I was down in Florida, and the Lord spoke to me and said, whatever you do, don't leave the church of God the evening light. Don't you do it, Carl Schaefer. And I've never done it. I've been discouraged at times. Man, I've thought about different things, but I have never come to the place where that I would walk off and leave this body of people. I believe this is the church of God. I believe this is the one with the truth. We had somebody that was coming to meeting there in Shawnee, He had a, seemed like a real good spirit. He was saved. He was sanctified. He was testifying. The Lord seemed to be blessing him and so forth. He and I had quite a bit of talk. So I had some high envision for him. But he decided that he, I don't know what happened, really. I can't get it out of him. But I was talking to him one time, and I told him, I said, now, brother, and he knows a lot of Church of God. He studied it. Worked with it, so to speak, and studied it and read books and so forth. He knows a lot of these little Church of God places, so to speak. And I told him, I said, I may be wrong, brother, but I said, there's not another group like us.
He looked at me and he said, you're right, brother, there's not.
I said, there's not another group that's got liberty and freedom and no man rule and so forth. He said, you're right. There's not another one out there that's got it. Thank the Lord. Brother Stanley's been saying we need to protect this thing. We do. There is liberty in working. I was sitting in a home and we were talking there. Becky and I was there and some other people. And so they was asking me, well, how do you all conduct your services? And I told them. And there was a couple of sisters over here and Becky and I here and somebody else on the end of the table. We had discussed it. One sister looked at the other and said, well, I wonder what happened if we do that. What she mean by that, if they were leaving up the Holy Ghost to let the preachers preach that had the burden to preach and not tell everybody what to do. And she said, she didn't know what to say. I don't know. I tell you what had happened if people had turned loose and surrendered, let go, God would run the place. That's what had happened. There'd be some glory come down and some power come down. But God is not pleased with the Church of God having things to do with Babylon. Come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't have anything to do with a hateful and unclean, something that's fallen, something that's away from God, something God has turned it back on, so to speak. He is involved. He is in. He's a foundation. He's part of. He backs. He supports the Church of God. If we walk away from this, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble, folks. Somebody told my wife a while back, I'm free. With her necklace and rings and pants and short hair, and I'm free. I thought, I don't know what she's free from. She's free from what she said, this group's man rule, so to speak. We don't have any man rule. We've got the Word of God. I'm free. Well, I don't think she's free. I'm free. I tell you where freedom's at is the fulfilling of the Holy Ghost and pleasing God. There's where it's free. And tonight, Lord, help us. God wants us to trust God. God wants us to leave Babylon alone. God wants us to dig down, consecrate, dedicate. Is God pleased with your consecration tonight? Is He satisfied with your level of consecration, or could you take it to a deeper level? Could you go deeper than what you've ever been? Sometimes we've got a level, but then the Lord wants us to go to a deeper level. Wants us to do more. I want to ask you tonight, is He pleased with your level of consecration? Or has He been calling in this meeting? Has He been working with you? Come on a little deeper, child. I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to do that. And I'm not totally talking about called into the ministry or something like that. But you do things for God. Is He pleased with that tonight? When a saint was sick on their bed, and at that point it could have been their deathbed, and I point blank asked him, I said, do you know the gift that God has for you? Have you sought that gift? Are you sought it? And they looked at me, or spoke to me, however, we might have been on the phone. And they said, Brother Carl, I know what my gift is. I know what God wants me to do. Do you know what God wants you to do tonight? Are you interested in knowing what God wants you to do? God didn't save you just to flip-flop and do just any old thing. God saved you to be a soul winner for Jesus. God saved you to be a worker for Jesus. God saved you to do what He wants you to do and please Him. And if we don't do that, folks, we're not where God wants us to be tonight. Let's close in Revelation 2. Two and one. unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my labor, for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless. Pretty good body of people sound like, doesn't it? But the Lord said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. I started out with love, and I'm going to finish with love. Because love is what makes us want to please God. And he said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You didn't lose it, you left it. There is a difference in that. And he said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Have we left our first love? Is it getting hard to get you to go to church meeting? Is it getting hard for you to get up and read and pray? You go to church, but you don't want to sing? Wednesday night? Oh, I'm just too tired to go tonight. I'm just going to stay home. But when you first got saved, you'd been there before the pastor was. When people leave when they have left their first love, they get into trouble. And consequently, that's where people are not pleasing God tonight, is because they've left their first love. He said, remember, therefore. Let us go back tonight. This meeting's been a good meeting, but God's calling for more. Have you left your first love? Are you on fire? Are you happy? Are you blessed? Are you doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do? Is there some secret things in the closet that you put in there and you shut the door and you don't want to touch? And God's crying from that closet, I want you to do this. You've got a whole pile of them stacked there. A lot of people have a junk drawer in their house. Some of them have a junk room in their house. And they don't want to go in that. I've had them tell me, don't mess with that room when you're cleaning my house. You leave it alone. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. There's junk drawers. I've had them myself. There's all kind of stuff in them junk drawers. Lord, help us tonight. You've got some stuff stuck back, and the Lord's trying to work with it, and you're refusing to work with it, and God's not pleased with that. God wants us to turn loose and confess. He wants us to get back to our first love.